Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Our Lord of comfort, our Lord of strength, our Redeemer, our Savior, the beginning and the end of all life. We glorify you right now. Thank you for your anointing power. Thank you for your spirit that flows from servant to servant. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that you have already confirmed this week up until the very moment of entering into the service this morning, from Sunday school to now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for every facilitator, every leader, media ministry, song ministry. We thank you for everyone that is calling on your name and that has confessed you as Lord. We thank you for everyone that is watching by way of Zoom. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that wanted to be here, could not. You only know the reason why, Heavenly Father, but we stand as brothers and sisters and interceding on their behalf as we be submissive to your will and your way and hearing your word, Heavenly Father, as we open our minds and our hearts to understand that without you, we could do nothing. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for strength, endurance, commitment. Lord, I thank you for your love, your peace, and your joy. This I pray in Jesus' name. Let every heart say amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. For truly victory belongs. Victory belongs to him. You really got me with that one.
All right.
I am speechless. That's my song. In the morning, in the noonday, at night. Even driving here this morning, that's my song. I don't mean to be selfish, but that's my song. And all victory belongs to him. No one else gets the victory except him. Moving not too quickly, but being respectful, amen, to protocols that's already established, amen. Allow the spirit to work. Ask if you can stand to your feet, amen, if the Lord's will. Amen. As Brother Marshall already know, I had to call him over when Deacon Johnson said what the reading of the scripture was for next week. Amen. And I was like, oh Lord, my spirit just jumped. Amen. Looking at the letter of Paul from Ephesians. Amen. The letter, the epistle, Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. Somebody say amen. That's when you know that you on one accord with the Lord. Amen. For we did not come for any form or fashion, but we did come to worship and praise his name, even in the message. Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10, reading from the New King James Version, 2 and 10. If you have it, please say amen. If you don't, I'll read it for you. Ephesians 2 and 10, reading from the New King James Version, for we are, somebody say we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. Who prepared? God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I feel an exegete coming on. So therefore, here we should walk in the good works of the Lord that has already been prepared beforehand. There's the command there. Why? Because we were created for his workmanship. Do I have a witness in the house today? So we speak from this thought and this theme, and not only that, it's a fact. My new living condition. When did it start? Only you know. But today's subject is my new living conditions. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The main thought to remember in all of this collectiveness and wholeness is to remember not only this chapter and verse, because the overall message covers that, Deacon Johnson, verses 1 through 10, and the correlating scriptures. So here, just to make sure that we keep you awake, we move expeditiously by first reminding you of this, that Minister O.T. didn't write any of this. It's given from the word of God. Now, a lot of people, they're like, well, you spoke it. Yeah, he allowed me to speak it. If I wrote a book about the word of God, he allowed me to write a book. All glory goes to the Lord. Amen. Truly, we were used as vessels to do the work of God. But all glory goes to the Lord. Amen. So the main thought to remember, as I always would say, is 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, is to remember that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may thoroughly be equipped for every good work. There it is again. So in order for you to do the good work that's already created in Jesus Christ, you need to make sure that you are equipped. All of us remember in times past where we went through some things, and at the time we did not know the Lord and we was living in darkness. So family, we come to understand that life is not just a box of chocolates. Within its way of living or walk, we come to find out in life that there were some things, if somebody's going to be truthful, that we were not prepared for in life. Why? Because as Frank Sinatra said, and he stated in his song, I did it my way and not God's way. But soon you would find out, and soon we found out that the way that we were doing things were not God's way. So therefore, we were what? Living in darkness. But then, right off the top, within the context of the text today, we must exegete and draw out something that God did. What did he do? Glad you asked. God created us and prepared us beforehand in Christ Jesus, the way in which we should walk in the good works prepared for us to follow. Do you see me? Amen. As if you see me, you see God. One thing we have to make sure is that we're like-minded in all things when it comes to the word and the work of God. As we work together, Bobby, we have to make sure that we're on one accord. As the band plays, they have to make sure that they're on one accord, regardless if one is playing a bass or the drums or the piano. They have to be on one accord. It's just like the drum major, as he would take his baton and go up. It's amazing that I still have that step. And I'm 54. But at Compton High, we had to remain in step. Not only that, even when we broke it down and we did the bend that the whole nation of Compton loved, I gotta tell you, that wasn't easy. Because all of us probably have back problems today. But we had to make sure that we were on one accord. The letter of Paul to the Ephesians was addressed to the church in the city of Ephesus, the capital of the Roman province of Asia, Asia Minor, modern Turkey. The authorship of Paul is not in question, nor is the message shared in this letter, the epistle from God, as he speaks to the church through Paul. The salutation, meaning the greeting, the salute, and the welcome, confirmation of Paul's actions, which are not of his own, are noted in Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 5 and 3 and 1. How do you know? Because I read it for myself. And it says, Paul, an apostle. What was Paul? He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was the apostle of whom? Jesus Christ. By what? By the will of God. It says, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Anybody here faithful today? He says, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Somebody say, I'm blessed. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us. Somebody say, he's chosen me. Now, somebody might not like that he's chosen you. But guess what? When God chooses you, it really doesn't matter. Amen. The thing that does matter is somebody needs to hope that they were chosen by God. Anybody know him? Amen. According as he has chosen us in him before what? The foundation of the world. So we don't have to gloat about that. We don't have to boast about that, but we can boast, it says, in the Lord, right? That what? Deacon Johnson, God chose me before the foundation of the world. That's just like a lot of people in a room. And when you start sharing your name and everything, you know, like at work and orientation and everything, and they want you to say who you are and what you do. And everybody gets up and then they start talking about all the master's degrees and the bachelor degrees and everything. And everybody's clapping their hand. But if somebody say something about an associate's art degree, you don't hear a word. That's that situation that was in Sunday school about favoritism. But we faced all that in the beginning when we didn't know the Lord. But now that we know the Lord, we know the things that we should do and should not do. Do I have a witness in the house today? Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will. It was his will. Somebody tell your neighbor, tell your wife that it was his will. Found in this letter is good, is God's purpose for the church according to his will. One is to obtain a new life in Christ, which covers our text today, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. But the key verse is verse 10, which is, also, in this text, is some homework. I say, oh, you're giving homework on a Sunday? Remember, every day is the Lord's day. Number two, is our homework to study for this week, starting tonight. You say, he's serious. Yeah. Until Tuesday. Is the unity in Christ in Ephesians chapter 2 and 11 through chapter 3 and 13. But then we also must not forget, Deacon Johnson, that we have Bible class on Wednesday. Can I plug that in right now, station identification? News break on Wednesday from 1 to 3 in prayer. Amen. The letter is said to note that Paul was in prison at this time, writing this letter in a dark time of being in the Roman prison at the time of his writing, just as it was for us during the dark time while we were walking and living in darkness before we found the Lord. The church at Ephesus was plagued with and by fables and endless genealogies and false teachings by influential men. Get this, influential men that were found to be even elders in the congregation. How do you know? Because 1 Timothy 1 and 3 in verse 20 states it. And the elders, not fully understanding the scriptures, propounded ungodly interpretation with confidence in themselves, thinking that they were right. They were just speaking these words that they knew that they were right about. But they were not. But they did it with confidence in themselves upon the people. And like our lost government today, upon the blind and the lost through material things and words like today, even to our children and even the adults still today, there are many that are lost. But here we come upon the subject of the text and the breaking down of the scriptures here. The subject explained, the context, which is the frame of reference or factors of this subject. My new living conditions being a personal statement, my or yours living conditions should let or inform the hearer today know that we once were in a situation, but something has changed. Tell your neighbor, I've been changed. I've been changed within are around the individual. And because it's new, and it's my new change of condition or your new change of conditions, one should understand that it was for the betterment of one's state or status, or in case, a living condition. The will of Christ is done. No better one to write than Paul, for he is a great one that God changed on the road of Damascus. Do I have a witness today? For as he saw the truth and the light, his life condition changed. As so will yours change when you accept the Lord. Somebody has a testimony today. I know that they have been through some sticky situations before they found the Lord. Amen. You don't have to shout it out because God already knows. And you're probably already thinking about it even right now, the things that you've been through. But I come by to encourage you and let you know nobody can judge you, because guess what? All have come short and sin for the glory of God. But guess what? He was always there, Bobby. So we have a testimony today and how God made a way in our life. And as I look back, even over my life, I remember that song. And it says that I think things over. I can truly say, anybody know that? That I am blessed. I have a testimony. Well, what's your testimony, preacher? My testimony is that I have a new way of living. I have new conditions in my life that keep me up front. But one thing we must not forget is we must not forget the pros and the cons that come with the new conditions. The pros of one's new living condition are is having the greatest relationship in the world, and that relationship is with the Lord, our Savior in God, and also have a direct connection through prayer with the greatest problem solver and the greatest healer and greatest deliverer ever in the world. Better yet, in God, I am living, and I am a living testimony on earth and in heaven, regardless if I die today here. To be absent from here is to be present with the Lord. Do anybody hear me today? Oh, y'all looking at me funny.
The cons of one's old living condition in ways is darkness and sin without a repentant heart. And in that walk, there is no life. One is dead to God because there is no substance, true faith. The walking dead only has worldly pleasures based on lies and deceits of the world. But I bid you today to come out from under it, for there is no winning in sinning. There is no life in sinning. It only leads to death. But through Christ, somebody say through Christ, hallelujah, we are alive through repentance and confession of our faith. Is there anybody here that believe in him? Is there anybody here that knows him for yourself? Is there anybody here that don't mind standing for the Lord and say that he is my Savior? He is my Lord. He is my all in all. How do you know? I'm glad you asked again. Boy, you guys asked some good questions. Because, see, once I was lost, but now what? I'm found at Luke 19, amen, interpreted in exegesis, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And then that 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul in Jesus Christ. Moving to a close, the text explains the application and the testimony that support the factors and the details that are here in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And the story is about a turnaround, how things in my life were turned around. Have things in your life been turned around? Are you still holding on to some things? Pretty quiet. Let's ask some more questions. See, it all started when I was doing things my way. That involved the cons of my living conditions, made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions, and we were dead in our transgressions, as the scripture says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who is Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient in the world even today. And all of us also lived among them at one time or another, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of the wrath of God. The summation of this text is this: you were dead in your transgressions and sin, and all of us also lived among them at one time. You followed the ways of this world and Satan, the princess of the air, of sin and disobedience. Excuse me. We were in sinfulness and lostness from which we have been redeemed. Somebody say, I've been redeemed. Here it comes. For it was not the act of the commission only, but it was mainly the nature that kept you going and going and going and going. It was the things of sin that made you stay longer than you wanted to stay and pay more than you wanted to pay. And then you found out that you was broke, and then you either stole something, another sin on top of a sin. Sounds like a condition of an old condition when one would tell a lie, you had to cover it up with another lie and then another lie. It's all right if we stand on truth. Because guess what? We have a new condition. God has brought me from a mighty long ways. There's no one in here that's perfect. Nobody except the spirit, the anointing power of God, that's perfect. And because it's already imputed in us, it's what turned us around. Do I have a witness in the house today? Oh, nobody ain't going to say none. So guess what? I'm going to preach to myself and I'm going to go to my seat, because I know that God made a way out of no way. See, for it was not the act of commission only, but it was mainly the nature that kept us going in the wrong direction. And at that time, we were apart. We were distanced from God and Christ and following these ideologies that are like fortresses that Paul exclaimed in 2 Corinthians 2:4-5, that imprisoned the mind and need to be set free through Jesus Christ. Jesus will set you free. Tell your neighbor, Jesus will set you free. Now, that's not for you to, you know, take it to heart and then ask the person back, so you saying I'm trapped? No, that's not what we're saying. We're just testifying and we're agreeing that we've come from a state. Amen. A lot of times we get in our feelings and we want to take things personal, even when it's the truth. And we don't want to work together and being on one accord and see things like the word of God is saying and work to an embetterment to embetter ourselves. I come by to let you know this is why there's husband and wife. That's why there's wife and husband. He's your husband, wife. Husband, she's your wife. Your wife. Your husband. Okay? The we and wife, the W stands for we. Even if it's not an E. But if you was to break it down, the Y, the W-I is what? We. Right? You can't get around it. And you're banded together. That's the part of the husband. This is why he what? He took from. Man. Yeah. And then see, in medical terminology, the rib is also known as a band. Yeah. There's a relationship. We talked about that relationship she asked this morning, that relationship. And it depends on how you're seeing it. If you're seeing it from the worldly view, they deal with the likes and the dislikes, and they can just throw you to the side. But when you're dealing with the spiritual sense, you cannot just throw me to the side. Guess what? You got to love me regardless if you don't want to love me. But hate? Cannot be a part of your vocabulary. It cannot be a part of your nature. Because for you to be one of God, for you to be a believer, and that includes myself, we have to love ye one another as God loves. And guess what? I need you to love me. When you love me, I need you to love me agape. Don't give me no half-hearted stuff. If I want a sandwich, don't give me a half a sandwich. Am I right about it? If you're going to make me a meal, 1 ounce of each entree ain't going to do me no good. Do you see me? We were dead in our living. But, somebody say, but. Be because of his great love. Amen. Part B of the text. From verse 4 to 10. But because of the great love for us, somebody say, God loves me. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. I was saved by grace. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. He did not only raise us up, but he said, come on, come with me. This is where I want you to be. That's love. That's the kind of love we have to have in our heart. He's seated with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. And in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. For it is by grace, somebody say by grace, you have been saved. Not nothing else, not a bottle, not a cigarette, nothing else, not the fortune teller. By grace, you have been saved through faith, through your belief. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not because of something you did. Oh, education is good. Don't get me wrong. I was glad to be chosen valedictorian at Charles Jude Medical Science when I graduated. But guess what? That don't mean anything if I don't know how to love folk, if I don't know how to take care of folk, if I'm treating everybody bad. That doesn't mean a thing. People are out there today, and I've seen them because I've had to interview them. And because you have all these degrees, you think that people shall bow. I don't know what world you in, but this is a different day and a different time. How do you know? Because the government just proved it when even my daughter then graduated from UC Davis in neuroscience. And then jobs are not available. And these are the jobs that I remember back in the 80s, in the 2000s, that they say you would always have a job in the medical field. You would always have a job working for the county. But that has changed too, right? But see, let me show you how God works. See, the job that they wouldn't give me is the job that I have now. And guess what? He set me down at home and I'll work from home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he knew my knees were tired. But it's all good, right? We boast in the Lord. But guess what? My job is to make sure that I help somebody else. Amen. I tell my daughter them the same thing. I tell my wife the same thing. Our job is to make sure that we help somebody else. It's not about us. It's about him. Do I have a witness in the house today? For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Somebody say, I must do the work that he has called me to do. Summation and closing in this is this: God's mercy, which is compassion, brought with it love, and the love which was agape brought with it in an unconditional relationship with concern and truth and care, and that brought with it, along with it, grace, which is power and righteousness given to us by unmerited favor, which brought with it salvation, which is for God's glory, and a spiritually dead person needs to be made alive by God, or he continues to walk in blindness and in darkness. But salvation brought with it spiritual life to our walking. We became alive and no longer dead, and our condition changed. What brought with it was Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And the side note is this: the power that raises believers out of death, my God, and makes them alive is through the energized power of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation. Romans 6, 1 through 7, 11 through 13. The conclusion thought is this: is remember, if I want to have a victorious life, it has to start right now. And it has to start with the pros. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Do I have a witness to today? And the final thought is this: if you want to walk in a greater victory in life, then the time is now to engage in having a better prayer life and a relationship with God. Do I have a witness today? The encouragement helps is from 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. It says, which you said early, and here's the confirmation: pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? For me. Anybody here thankful today? Anybody here grateful today? Anybody love the Lord today? Anybody here thankful today? Thankful day. Is anybody here? Anybody here knows that the will that God has for you is for you to be with him where he is. See, Jesus is more than a box of chocolate that I told you before. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good, and he tastes like nothing that you have ever tasted before. He is good. I know that he is good. He's good through Monday through Wednesday. He's good through Wednesday through Friday. He's good on Saturday. He's good on Sunday morning. And I just can't wait every Sunday morning to share in with the saints here today. If you know the Lord, come on and make some noise today. Are you thankful today? I thank the Lord for being a Lord of comfort. I thank the Lord for being a Lord of strength. I thank the Lord for being the Spirit of truth. I thank the Lord for being the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thank the Lord for being loving. I thank the Lord for peace and joy, yet unspeakable joy. For he is my good shepherd, my Prince of Peace. He is my Redeemer. He is my propitiation, my resurrection. He is my rock. He is my shield. He is the Lord, my Savior of the world. Who you talking about? I'm glad you asked. I knew you had another question in your heart. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the strong deliverer, the one that came down in the form of man to show us how to live as he walked that road of Via della Rosa, road up to the mount called Calvary and also known as the skull, where he allowed them to lay him on the cross, which was the altar for all the saints, that we might have a second chance. And he allowed them to nail nails in his hands and nail nails in his feet. But then he said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. And they didn't believe him, so they lifted him up high and stretched him wide, and they pierced him in the side, and he died for you and I. As his head laid in the lock of his shoulders. But then remember what he said. If I would be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. So they took him down and they put him in a borrowed tomb. They didn't believe him. He stayed there Friday night, which is the first day. He stayed there Saturday night, which is the second day. But he said on the what? The third day, amen? Because on Sunday morning, that great getting up Sunday morning, amen, he got up. Somebody, he got up. Tell your neighbor, he got up, he got up, he got up, he got up. He got up with all power in his hand. And he's coming back again. He's coming back again for you and I. Will you be ready? Will you thank him for your new condition? Because as you look back over your life, you don't have to look back anymore. Just need you to continue to press toward the what? Which is him, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, give God a hand.